It's Brock.
I didn't really want to recite this poem because I wrote it when I was 20. I wrote this poem more or less to express how the youth of my generation felt at that particular time. This is around 1972. Some people have told me years after that it was prophetic, but when I was writing it, I didn't think I was prophesying anything. I thought I was stating the obvious. Time come. It soon come. It soon come. Look out, look out, look out. Fruit soon ripe, fi take we bite. Strength soon come, fi we fling we might. It soon come. It soon come. Look out, look out, look out. We feel bad. We look sad. We smoke weed. And if your eyes sharp, read the violence now we eye. We gonna smash the sky with we bad, bad blood. Look out, look out, look out. It soon come. It soon come. Is the shadow walking behind you? Is I stand up right before you? Look out. But it too late now. I did warn you. When you fling me in a prison, I did warn you. When you kill Olo Wally, I did warn you. When you beat Joshua Francis, I did warn you. When you pick Panda Panthers, I did warn you. When you jack me up against the wall, I didn't bawl, but I did warn you. Now you see fire burning in my eye. You smell badness pan my breath. Feel violence, violence bursting out of me. Look out! It too late now. I did warn you. I hope you're happy, Max. It's a poem I wrote as a contribution to a campaign that was being waged in the black communities against the infamous SUS law, SUS being short for suspicion. The Vagrancy Act from the time of Queen Victoria, which had been dormant on the statute books, rediscovered by racist police officers when the black youth of my generation emerged on the scene in this country. And you would be arrested and charged and jailed for attempting to steal from persons unknown. There was never a victim produced in court to give evidence against you. It was your word against the police officer. And as long as he was able to convince the magistrate that he had reasonable grounds to believe that you intended to commit the crime, that was all that was required. And it was a successful campaign. The law was abolished, but of course, it was replaced with another law which meant more or less something similar. So it's a letter written from prison, addressed to a mother somewhere in the Caribbean, and the writer of the letter is trying to explain to his mother the circumstances of his imprisonment with his younger brother. Sonny's letter. Brixton Prison, Jeb Avenue, London, Southwest 2, England. Dear Mama, good day. I hope that when these few lines reach you, they may find you in the best of health. Mama, I really don't know how to tell you this, cause I did make a solemn promise to take care of little Jim and try my best to look out for him. Mama, I really did try my best, but nonetheless, I'm sorry to tell you, sir, poor little Jim get a rest. It was the middle of the rush hour when everybody just a hustle and a bustle to go home for them evening shower. Me and Jim stand up waiting upon a bus, not causing no fuss, when all on a sudden a police van pull up. Out jump three policemen, the whole of them carrying baton. Them walk straight up to me and Jim. One of them hold on to Jim, say I'm taking him in. Jim tell him to let go of him, for him not done nothing. And him not thief, not even a button. Jim start for wriggle. The police start for giggle. Mama, make I tell you what them do to Jim. Mama, make I tell you what them do to him. Them thump him in him belly and it turn to jelly. Them lick him pan him back and him rib get pop. Them lick him pan him head but it tough like lead. Them kick him in him seed and it started to bleed. Mama, I just couldn't stand up there and not do nothing. So me juk one in him eye and him started to cry. Me thump one in him mouth and him started to shout. Me kick one pan him shin and him started to spin. Me thump him pan him chin and him drop pan a bin and crash. And dead. Mama, more policemen come down and beat me to the ground. Them charge Jim for sus. Them charge me for murder. Mama, don't fret. Don't get depressed and downhearted. Be of good courage. Till I hear from you, I remain your son, Sonny. It's all right, it's all right. I want to do this poem called It No Funny because I recorded it on my Forces of Victory album. This is one of my poems that work with music or without music, I think. It's talking about the rebel generation to which I belong. Unlike our parents, who were a bit more constrained in the way they could fight racial injustice, because simply because they had responsibilities, they had families to consider, they couldn't just walk off the job every time they were racially abused. Well, that generation really is the heroic generation as far as John LaRose, my mentor, is concerned. You know, the so-called Windrush generation, the heroic generation. And John called them the heroic generation because of what they were able to achieve in spite of the racially hostile environment they found themselves in. And this provided a solid foundation for the second generation, which I belong to, but they were more constrained in the fight back against racial injustice. My generation didn't have those kind of considerations, you know, and we refuse to tolerate the things our parents sometimes reluctantly tolerated. We rebelled. This poem describes a section of that rebel generation to which I belong. It's called It No Funny. People saying this, people saying that about the youth of today, all them carrying on away. And it not funny. It not funny. Them would take chance to get a little Kyle. Them would take chance to live it up a while. Them would take chance to live it up in style. Them would take chance to go jump and prance. Them would take chance. And them love blues dance. Them would take chance. And them don't count the cost. People saying this, people saying that about the youth of today, how them cars in are free. And it not funny. It not funny. Them would take chance. And them love cuss ras. Them would take chance. Them would skip them class. Them would take chance. If you go pop a little style, them would take chance. Them do it all the while. Them would take chance. But some of them last, them would take chance. And them don't count the cost. People saying this, people saying that about the youth of today, about the way them stay. And it not funny. It not funny. Them would take chance to get a little collie. Them would take chance with your little sister Sally. Them would take chance for them feel them force. Them would take chance, but them got no course. Them would take chance, but them is not advanced. Them would take chance, and them don't count the cost. People saying this, people saying that about the youth of today, about the way them stay. And it not funny. No, sir. It not funny. Now, my parents, no, that's all right. My parents were separated when I was a kid. My father stayed in Jamaica and he raised another family down there. But he died in 1982, having suffered a couple of strokes and heart attack. In fact, he had diabetes. Both legs were amputated. He was only 56 when he died. So I wrote this farewell poem, but it's also a poem about Jamaica, as I saw it during the early 1980s. Reggae fi dada, galang dada, galang guanyasa. You never had no life to live, just the one life to give. You did your time upon earth, you never get your just desert. Galang go smile in the sun, galang go sata in the palace of peace. Oh, the water, it's so deep, the water, it's so dark, and it's full of harbor shark. The land is like a rock slowly shattering to sand, sinking in a sea of calamity, where fear breeds shadows that lurks in the dark, where people afraid to walk, afraid to think, afraid to talk, where the present is haunted by the past. A desa me born, get to know about storm, learn to cling to the dawn. And when me hear my daddy sick, me quickly pop my grip and take a trip. Me never have no time when me reach, to see no sunny beach when me reach. Just people are living shock, people living back to back amongst cockroach and rat, amongst dirt and disease, subject to terrorist attack, political intrigue, constant grief, and no sign of relief. Oh, the grass turned brown, so many trees cut down, and the land is overgrown. From country to town is just thistle and thorn in the wound of the poor. Is a miracle how them endure the pain night and day, the stench of decay, the glaring sights of guarded affluence, the arrogant voices, cold eyes of contempt, the mocking symbols of independence. I just saw me born, get to know about storm, learn to cling to the dawn. And when the news reached me, send me one daddy dead, me catch a plane quick. And when me reached my sunny isle, it was the same old style. The money well dry, the bullets them a fly, plenty innocent a die, many rivers run dry, ganja planes flying high. The poor man him a try, you think a little try him try, holding on by and by, when a dollar can buy a little dinner for a fly. Galang dada, galang guan yasa. You never had no life to live. Just the one life you give. You did your time upon earth, you never get your just desert. Galango smile in the sun, Galango sata in the palace of peace. Me know you couldn't take it, Dada. The anguish and the pain, the suffering, the problems, the strain. Struggling in vain if you make two ends meet, so that them pickney could I get a little something to eat, to put clothes upon them back, to put shoes upon them feet, when a dollar can buy a little dinner for your fly. Me know you try, Dada. You fight a good fight, but the dice them did loaded and the card pack fix. Yet still, you reach 56 before you lose your leg wicket. I know you're born ground here, so we bury you as strangers burying ground, near to mum and cousin Doris, not far from the quarry, down at August Town. 1981 is the most significant date in the post-World War II history of the black experience in Britain. A number of things happened that year. In January 1981, 17th of January, Yvonne Ruddock was celebrating her 16th birthday party at 439 New Cross Road in Southeast London when some racist, some fascist, threw an incendiary device through the window of the house, which resulted in the death of 13 young black people and 26 serious injuries. It was the police themselves who informed Mrs. Ruddock, Yvonne's mother, that it was an arson attack. Those kind of attacks were not unprecedented. In fact, they had been going on from the 60s, from the time of Enoch Powell's Rivers of Blood speech demanding repatriation. In 1971, in Forest Hill, there was a similar arson attack on a West Indian party, and a number of people were badly burnt there. Luckily, no one died. And there was a successful prosecution for arson in that instance. But in the case of the New Cross fire, the police launched a campaign of lies and disinformation within 48 hours without carrying out any forensic examination whatsoever, ruled completely out of hand the possibility that it could have been a racist arson attack. They were aided and abetted in the campaign of lies and disinformation by the gutter press, even some of the broadsheets too. They rounded up some of the kids who were at the party and tried to get them to sign false confessions to say that there was a fight in the party and that's what caused the fire. The black communities mobilized ourselves and formed the New Cross Massacre Action Committee within 48 hours. And the police used taxpayers' money to try and discredit the New Cross Massacre Action Committee. There was an inquest which was held with indecent haste, even before the police had completed their investigations. And the verdict was an open one because there were so many conflicting scenarios presented to the inquest jury. 20 years later, they had another inquest. I don't know why. It was a complete waste of taxpayers' money because there was no new evidence. And the same open verdict was arrived at. But the New Cross Massacre Action Committee mobilized between 15,000 to 20,000 people on the 2nd of March, 1981. And we marched from New Cross to Hyde Park, in the center of London, to protest the death of those young people and the way the matter had been dealt with by the authorities. That was known as the Black People's Day of Action. And they'd never seen nothing like that in this country before, or since for that matter. And it was soon after that, a couple years after that, things began to change slowly because it made those in the establishment sit up and take note of the fact that black people had some power and we could mobilize that power if and when we had to. In April of 1981, for some reason best known to themselves, the police launched an operation, I think largely because they felt that young black men were behaving with too much defiance after the morale booster of the Black People's Day of Action. They launched an operation called Operation Swamp 81 in Brixton, my neighborhood, where they went about harassing and intimidating black people going about our lawful business. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, and we had a riot, an insurrection in response to that. And those riots spread to every major inner city area in this country. Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool. I made an attempt to chronicle those events in this poem called The Great Insurrection. It was in April 1981, down in the ghetto of Brixton, that the Babylon them caused such a friction that it bring about a great insurrection. And it spread all over the nation. It was truly an historical occasion. It was event of the year, and I wish I had been there when we run riot all over Brixton, when we mash up plenty police van, when we mash up the Wicked One plan, when we mash up the Swamp 81, fi make the rule of them understand that we not take no more of them oppression. And when me check out the ghetto grapevine, to find out all I could have find, every rebel just a revel in them story. Them a talk about the power and the glory. Them a talk about the burning and the looting. Them a talk about the smashing and the grabbing. Them a tell me about the vanquish and the victory. Them said the Babylon them went too far. So what? We had was fibon to care. And one and two innocent get mar. But what? Not so it go sometime in a war in star. Not so it go sometime in a war. Them say we burn down the judge, we could have burned the landlord. We burn down the judge, we never burn the landlord. When we run riot all over Brixton. When we mash up plenty police van. When we mash up the wicked one plan. When we mash up the swamp 81. Them say we commandeer care and we gather ammunition. We build we barricade and the wicked catch afraid. We send out we scout figure, find them we're about. Then we farm up with posse and we make we raid. Well, now them run gang or plan counter action. But the plastic bullet and the water cannon will bring a blam blam. Will bring a blam blam. Never mind scar, man. Will bring a blam blam. It was a watershed moment, the riot, the Black People's Day of Action in the history of our struggles for racial equality and for social justice. And of course, the second watershed moment came in the 90s with the Stephen Lawrence murder and the Stephen Lawrence inquiry. So this is a poem, and it's a kind of a stock-taking poem where I'm asking the question, how far have we come after those events? Because there were other uprisings in the mid-80s, in 1985, for example, which were triggered by the what was perceived by many young Black people as the police killing our mothers now, with the death of Cynthia Jarrett and the shooting of Cherry Gross in her back. Looking back on my life in this country, I think, in spite of the fact that there were many obstacles put in our way, what we can be triumphant about, when I say we, those of us in the Black communities, what we can be triumphant about is the fact that we successfully integrated ourselves into British society. So here's the poem, it's called Things and Times. Duped, doped, demoralized. Dizzied, dazed, traumatized. Blinded by resplendent light of love, dazzled by the firmament of freedom. Him couldn't detect deceit, all when it kick him in him teeth. Him couldn't cry corruption and believe in a man. Him never know about clique, him did humble, him did meek. Him never know intrigue, him never in at that the league. Him never did understand that on the road to socialism, you could buck up nepotism. Him wife dangerous, him brother treacherous. And him cousin very vicious. Duped, doped, demoralized. Dizzied, dazed, traumatized. Now like a fragile fragment of light, trapped in the belly of the dark night. Like a blind man stupefied and dazed, lost and alone in a mystical maze for days upon days upon days upon days. Watch him drifting across the ocean of life, without a rudder nor anchor nor sail, for days upon days upon days upon days. Call him flotsam of the tides of the times, if you like, lost in the labyrinth of life, if you like. Duped, doped, demoralized. Dizzied, dazed, paralyzed. Shipwreck against the sands of the tides of the times, meditating upon the bad old days. Face down upon the gleaming seashore, not so certain, not so sure like before. The salt of the sea, upon the sun, in him eye, and him would give it back, if him could cry. The sound of the surge of the sea, harmonized with the swaying bamboo trees, and him brains just a tick, all kind of thoughts now in it, like them desperate days of defiance, when young rebels did a fight against oppression, when young rebels did a fling firebomb, when they marched with them banners raised, chanting freedom, chanting justice, chanting blood and fire, when North Crucial Trail was ablaze, taking the struggle to a higher stage. Doped, doped, demoralized. Dizzied, dazed, paralyzed. Now wash up, wet up, mash up. Him raise up, catch up, and sit up. With him hand pan him jaw and him head a hang down, I consider how young rebels get old. How some sell them soul, some get left out in the cold. Some get elevate, some get depreciate. Some turn middle class, some a gamble race horse. Some a try to live clean, some get vicious and mean. Some plague with doubt, some still a tough it out. One and two a fight the struggle in them head. Lead the leader lesson of them head. Win the revolution in them head. Yeah, man, all a ton prime minister in them head. Duped, doped, demoralized. Dizzied, dazed, traumatized. Now him wondering, pondering, considering, posing all kind of riddle to himself like, now that we come out of the one room them, and time and fortune been some of we friend, now that we got we council flat and with this and with that, we color TV and all the mad con, now that we create some space, enough of we own a little place. Now that we got we MP and we black JP, black span the radio, black span TV, we sir and we lord and we MBE. I forgot we forgot, or it that. Do we need another Moses if we take we cross the sea and say, go on, walk cross, on a free, as we enter the 21st century? Are we long past that the era, that the stage, and is each and every one who have to rise now to meet the dawning of a different age? Well, he was wondering, pondering, considering, when him hear a voice like the wind say, "Cho, are just things and times, wonders and signs, but not get mystic, be realistic." And him hear a next voice like the sea say, "Sometimes the pungent odor of the care signals a brand new life depon the way." Let me write something a little bit more cheerful. So I wrote this one called The Unfinished Revolution. "Now watch ya, Mr. Man, me not like the way you tan, and your tan so too long, you know, man. I meditate, yeah, I meditate pon the same song so long. Well, hear me, man, me not teach, me not preach, me just assure you how me see it. Because the truth, well, sweet, just like an African beat, like when you see where you're coming from, like when you sight which part you reach. So me not care if you are vexed or even go on like you're perplexed. Me go show you where me see, Mr. Man. You just sit down and fall up like a cabbage. Like say you got no understanding, got no knowledge. Like say you still no realize you are just the other day. We chuck off the choking chains of bondage. That in spite of the hatred and disadvantage, though we slip up and stumble upon the way, we still reach far down Freedom Street, still mindful of the minefields upon the way. So may I beg you, Mr. Man, please come out of your shell. We can't dwell in the past that lasts forever, you know, my brother. Now that the sun has shined bright, please come out of the doldrums of the dark night. History bigger than me, are you, you know? Time can't steal, but it can heal. So shake the dew from out your head. Wipe the cobweb from your face. We got enough work for do, for we not reach Mount Zion yet. Yes, we put on a solid foundation for true. And one and two are we well, I get true. for true. But we still not build the new Jerusalem yet. The time gonna come again, you can bet, when we are gonna march on again, you hear my friend? Mobilize with woman and with friend them again. Even the picnic them are gonna join in again. For freedom is not no ideology. Freedom is a human necessity. It can't depend upon no one somebody. It's up to each and every one of we. Me not preach. Me not teach. Me just assure you how me see it. Because the truth, well sweet, just like an African beat, like when you see where you're coming from, like when you sight which part you reach. So me not care if you are vexed or even go on like you're perplexed. Me just assure you when me see, Mr. Man. How I came to write this poem was that someone brought it to my attention that my name was mentioned in the Oxford Companion to 20th Century Poetry, albeit as a footnote. And it was a footnote about dub poetry. Another poet from an older generation was quoted as describing dub poetry as, quote, overcompensation for deprivation, unquote. Since my name has been largely associated with this so-called dub poetry, I couldn't ignore it. So by way of riposte, excuse me, I wrote this piece. And I make reference to Buthelezi, who, as some of you may recall, was chief of the Zulus. His Inthaka organization was a thorn in the flesh of Nelson Mandela's ANC. And he was a collaborator with the apartheid regime. And Lance Percival, I make reference to. Some of you are old enough to remember Lance Percival, very popular English comic actor who also made a name for himself doing parodies of some well-known calypsos, like Don't Stop the Carnival and so on. I begin with this little quote by a Jamaican Rasta poet who in one of his poems had a line that went, most of the straightening is in the tongue, so making a point about language. So my riposte is called, If I Was a Top-Notch Poet. If I was a top-notch poet, like Chris Okigbo, Derek Walcott, or T.S. Eliot, I would write a poem so damn deep that it bittersweet. Like a precious memory will make you weep, will make you feel incomplete. Like when you love a leave, and do a defeat you concede, still you beg and you plead, till you win a reprieve, and you're ready for rock steady, but the music done already. Still, in the meantime, with me rhythm, with me rhyme, with me rough bass line, with me own sense of time, go and poet off a step in line. Kabuta lazy might have got a couple thousand, but Mandela for him, thousands of thousands of thousands of thousands. If I was a top-notch poet, like Kamau Brathwaite, Martin Carter, Jane Cortez, or Amiri Baraka, I would write a poem so rude and rootsy and subversive that it make the goon poet turn white with envy. Like a kandumble voodoo kumina chant, a whole time calypso or a slave song that get banned. But from granny right down to grand picnic, each and every one can recite that they want. Still, in the meantime, with me rhythm, with me rhyme, with me rough bass line, with me own sense of time, goon poet of a step in line. Kabuta lazy might have got a couple thousand, but Mandela for him thousands of thousands of thousands of thousands. If I was a top-notch poet, like Chikaya, Yotamsi, Nicholas Gwen or Lana Goodison, I would write a poem so beautiful that it's simple. Like a plain girl with good brains and nice ways, with a sexy disposition and plenty compassion, with a sweet smile and a subtle style. Still, me not go bow and scrape and go on like a ape, peddling no puerile parchment of ethnicity, with ungla vague fleeting hint of authenticity, Like a black Lance Percival in reverse, or even worse, a babbling buffoon will lose him tongue. No, sir, not at all. Me got me rhythm, me got me rhyme, me got me rough bass line, me got me own sense of time. Goon poet of a step in line. Kabuta lazy might have got couple thousand, but man, they la fame thousands of thousands of thousands. Thank you very much.
That was Linton Kwesi Johnson, and that was recorded at the somewhere in Leeds a couple years ago. He was doing several different things about some of his poems that had been set to music, and he was going to various spots there in England. Give you a little look at what went on and what goes on in Great Britain, as Linton Kwesi Johnson has stated, England is a bitch. A bitch for true. And that reflects some of the struggles there for black people and people of color. You're listening to WRCT. We got coming up, Anatomy of the Ear at 11 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. And we got one more tune, hopefully, before we get out of here.
Yeah. must bring about the unity for humanity, and people could learn to live in love and respect each other, knowing that we share the same love and happiness that the Father granted us to live. All amens. Respect and truth and unity.
Welcome to
Good Times, Bad Decisions
on WRCT 88.3 with Amanda, Blair, Leo, and Shree.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh or its members.
Today, the Chem Squad will be discussing our trip to Cleveland last year and walking you through what that was like and what we did, and then we'll be talking about where we want to travel next, our dream destinations, and why. So, we went to Cleveland. When did we go to Cleveland? October of last year. So,
almost a year ago.
October 2021?
It is fall break, right?
It was a short fall break.
Yeah.
It was a long weekend. That's what it was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was, I remember, it was like the day, like, there was like, I think it was like Monday off, right? Or something?
No, it was Friday.
We left after class on Friday.
We had an exam, did we not? Did we not have an exam? We left after our exam.
Yes, that was quantum.
It was quantum chemistry. Yes. We all were like, and see ya after this exam.
We got boba.
We did pick up boba. Yeah, because you and Blair went to pick up the car.
Yeah.
And Boba. Because I was off slacking or doing something.
Renting the car is another whole funny things that we were like, we almost rented a U-Haul. Because we couldn't rent because we're not over 25. And remember we were like looking on like Marketplace or something? It was some sketch website.
Oh yeah, I found
there's like a Maserati or something for like.
Yeah, I remember this. The one Maserati we could rent. I was all for it. I was like, dude, I want to drive this Maserati. Like, I'm like the driver of the group because I don't like other people driving.
What if when you go there and it's just like a car model, like a tiny model?
So we ended up renting a car with help from our friend Sally, who also came on the trip with us. She was able to help us rent a car. And that's how we got to Cleveland. Shree drove.
I did. Again, I don't like when other people drive. It stresses me out, so I drive.
Oh.
Except for when Amanda was getting me to the ER.
And I jumped in there because you didn't drive the whole way, technically.
Yeah, Amanda did drive.
Amanda did she drove in Pittsburgh area, and it was very cautious drive, I would put that way.
Yeah.
It was very cautious.
But Amanda picked up the car, and she picked up everyone else and picked me up last. Because I forget what. I was slacking for something. I think I had some dance team-related thing to do, and I was like, pick me up last. Or maybe I had him packed.
I think you had him packed.
I had him packed because of dance-related things. That's what it was. I had him packed, so I had to pack.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, we got to Shree safely. That was my job.
And I got you to Cleveland safely.
That was your job.
But yeah, so what was it, 3 hours?
No.
I thought it was
2 hours.
Yeah, I think
I think it was supposed to be 3 hours.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. No, it was. I think it was closer to three because we stopped in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
A little gas break. But yeah, we got to Cleveland. It was kind of evening when we got there. So what did we do? We went to Aldi's to get some groceries because Leo wanted to cook dinner Friday night.
Right. He packed.
I made Korean barbecue the day before, so I brought that, which 2 out of the 5 people couldn't have it. So I decided to cook some pad thai as well for the vegetarian vegan friends.
It was good pad thai.
It was very
really
good.
Yeah.
And the Korean barbecue was also good.
I'm glad that worked out.
It did. But you know what was really stressful about this whole thing? It wasn't your cooking. I trust your cooking. Getting to Aldi. That steep hill. There was this hill we had to go up to get to Aldi. And if you think Pittsburgh has a lot of hills, wait till you see this hill in Cleveland, Ohio. This was steep. Like, you could ski down that thing in the winter. Like, it was steep.
Compare it to the South Negley one.
No, it was steeper. It was 100% steeper.
I have no memory of that. It's steeper.
Probably because we were going there in the dark.
And we're
in the back.
I feel like it's probably... I want to say, like, 75 to 80 degrees.
No way.
70 to 75.
I'm going to put it at 65, 70. But yeah, it was really steep.
It's like that.
It was definitely more
like I could, like, I was sitting in the front, right? I was seeing, like, the ground, like...
No, yeah, it was like a roller coaster. Like, you know how when you're going down on a roller coaster and you're, like, looking basically, like, face-planting towards the ground? It was, like, that kind of vibe. If I break too hard, I think our car would...
I don't remember this.
But, like, I guess the car worked out fine. Like if it did not, sure I would remember
if
that.
If you, like, just put on, like, neutral, it's just gonna slide straight
out. Oh, yeah, it's gonna speed down. Like, if you hit the brakes too hard, the car would have toppled over. Like, it was that steep of a hill. I'm glad you guys didn't notice that it was that steep.
Wait, were we going up the hill or down the hill?
We went both ways.
We went both ways.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so to get to Aldi's, we went down the hill, and then Aldi's was, like, on a road a little bit farther down when it was flat.
Okay, so we did that. We cooked, and we had dinner. Did we play board games that day?
Yeah.
We might have.
Wait, really?
We did.
I think we played it on that first day, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yes, we did.
I think you also DJed for us, right?
Yeah, you did. You did. I remember
this.
I thought
that was the day after. Because I remember when I DJed, right?
Okay.
Somebody was sleeping. Because someone was tired.
No, I wasn't sleeping through your DJ set. I slept probably before. I slept while you were watching Netflix.
I don't think we watched...
You watched Squid Game.
Netflix after the board game? No, right?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think you DJ'd Saturday.
Yes, exactly.
And you watched Squid Game Saturday, but we played board games Friday.
Yes.
Yeah.
We played, what did we play? Settlers of Catan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that was... Okay, I played it once before that, but I didn't take it seriously, so that was my first serious introduction to Settlers of Catan.
Who won?
I think you did.
Probably.
I think you kept winning and I kept getting upset because you kept winning.
See, this is why I need to venture out, try experimenting, like, some very whack strategies. So that we all feel better?
Like, oh my god, maybe Leo. Leo's on easy mode right now. Like, no.
That's what happened last week, though.
We played Settlers of Catan last week with Leo's other housemates. And the only reason Leo didn't win was because he did some other, like, I don't know what you were doing. Some other strategy.
I was just banking on, like, the side. I was, like, literally going around the sides for the ports.
Yeah. But it's okay. It's, like, kind of like Monopoly in the sense that you do need to have a patience for it. Because sometimes Monopoly games will start off slow and then it'll build up and everyone will start shouting and fighting at each other. And that's, I feel like the same vibes from Settlers of Catan sometimes is it starts off very slow. But I don't know, you hit a turning point, all of a sudden, like, things are shooting off the rails. Like, you overcome the activation energy, I don't know, whatever. But when that happens, like, everything is chaotic.
Not the activation energy.
Wait, Kevis, what did you want me to say?
Anything but that.
But I just won't talk.
Oh, come on. All right, anyway, so that was Friday. On Saturday...
Just a little bit of a city walk, like, walked around everywhere.
We did walk a lot.
Yeah. Well, mostly drive, but...
It was so windy.
It was. It was very windy that day.
So windy.
We got brunch at this really cool spot Saturday morning. I got toast.
Very special.
It was very good toast.
Chicken and cinnamon roll. It's like kind of like chicken waffle, but it was like huge. Tasted great, though.
I want to say, though, it was a bar. It was not a brunch place. It was a bar.
That happened to have brunch.
There's a lot of places like that.
I guess. But it's just crazy. It was like 9 or 9:30, 10. People were like getting...
Well, like, brunch and mimosas is a thing.
Okay.
It is a thing. I had to drive, so I chose not to. I got either the same thing that Blair or Amanda did, but I got it without cheese.
Oh, that wouldn't be mine.
No.
It has cheese.
Yeah. Well, we got it in, like, a skillet.
You got what Sally got.
Oh, was that
it? You got, like, the huevos rancheros, but instead of eggs, you got something else.
Yeah, they gave me vegan something instead.
Yeah.
Like, vegan protein or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
How do you remember this? Oh, my God.
I really like that spot. No, it was nice. It was very aesthetic.
Really nice. Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's like a chain in Cleveland, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh. But it's like a local thing, I think, for them. But yeah, so we did that. Cool. We went to, like, Cleveland's equivalent of the Reading Terminal Market, if you're familiar with Philadelphia at all. I don't know what it was called, necessarily, but it was that equivalent. Just a bunch of different small vendors inside, like, this train station terminal-looking thing, which I think was pretty cool. Took some pictures there, walked around. You bought something. I don't remember what you bought, Amanda.
I didn't realize how expensive it was, but I bought, like, a bag of beans, a bag of lentils, and then two, like, vegan soup stock.
But yeah, I also bought, I think I bought, oh, those, like, freshly made pasta. Those were really good.
Oh, yeah, you did.
With, like, different flavors. I think I got one for, like, squid ink pasta, so, like, the dark ones. Tastes really good, yeah.
Wow, interesting. I think I was just looking around, I might have gotten lost a couple times. Like, by lost, I mean separated from everyone else, because I'm very easy to lose in crowds.
There's a lot of people there. There's a lot of people there.
I'm also tiny, and whenever something catches my eye, I will stop walking and look at it. So if people don't notice I've stopped walking, people will keep going, and I just get lost.
That sounds like a 10-year-old.
I basically am a 10-year-old, yeah. That's the energy we have. Okay. But we did that, and then we went to the stadium and rock and roll museum area. We drove down there, so it's by the lake. Mm-hmm. We were like, oh my gosh, this museum is so cool. Let's go inside the museum, right? Walk in. And then you have to, like, purchase tickets for entry. Walked right back out. I just took pictures around the museum.
Yeah, the tickets are pretty pricey. But yeah, it was a cool sign.
I think that's where my Facebook profile picture came from, was a picture that Leo took of me on the Cleveland sign. Fun fact. So we did that. And then, okay. So the market was in one part of Cleveland, and then we drove down to the stadium museum area, which is another part, and then I really wanted vegan ice cream, so I made everyone drive back to the first part we were in to get vegan ice cream. I got vegan coffee-flavored ice cream. It was above average, but not, like, stellar. Mm. So it was good. It wasn't, like, great, you know? I think, what was it? I think it was the texture that didn't do it for me. But I'm also very picky when it comes to ice cream textures.
That's fair.
Or vegan ice cream textures. I don't know what y'all got when we got ice cream. You got something.
I don't remember.
I don't remember what flavors I got, but I remember that it was really good.
I thought mine was like, okay. It's like, you know, just ice cream. Yeah.
I mean, to me, pretty much any ice cream is good ice cream. So.
Yeah, I agree.
No, but then after this, we went back. We went back to the place that we were staying at, and
everyone was tired.
Yeah. Oh, I, like, passed out. I fully took, like, a two-hour nap. And some of you guys were watching Squid Game while I was napping. I remember this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they just had Netflix on the TV, whatever, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I don't know why, but we just put on Squid Games.
Yeah, and Squid Game was, like, so popular a year ago, yeah, like, it during was right this time.
Yeah, that's when it was blowing up.
Yeah, because I remember waking up, coming outside, and just sitting there in silence for, like, 10 minutes trying to process what I was watching, because I hopped in the middle of a Squid Game episode, and I was like, what is going on? What are we watching? But, oh my god. That trip, let me tell you, I think junior year fall, that was probably the most I've ever slept in a weekend. That sounds terrible. I know that's terrible. I fixed it now, I promise. But, I have! Don't laugh! I see you laughing! My sleep schedule is so much better now. But I slept for a solid at least, like, 7 to 8 hours each night in Cleveland, and I think I was a different person. Like, genuinely, I had so much energy. I felt so alive.
Yes, PSA, you should sleep at least 7 to 8 hours every night.
Yes, please do.
Not just when you're traveling to Cleveland.
I don't know if shrieking enough sleep is a good thing, though.
What? What?
See,
what?
The thing is, she was just way too much energy. It was over the roof.
She could actually be herself and enjoy herself.
I guess, but... It was a lot.
Leo's like, wow, don't be yourself. Just, like, tone it down. No. I think I'm naturally a very energetic person when I have energy. So, if I sleep enough, watch out. I have a lot of energy. And you also made me coffee that morning. So you kind of contributed to that. Do you remember, Leo? You made me coffee.
I did.
You did make me coffee.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Because you wanted coffee. Because you didn't have tea. So you made coffee, and then you also made me coffee, because I'm a caffeined, and I will eat anything with caffeine in it.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, right, caffeined?
That was good.
Thank you.
That's a... Let's write that one down.
Yeah. But yes, you also made me coffee, and you contributed to that.
Okay.
So that's on you. It's not my problem. And then Leo DJ'd. And then Leo DJ'd.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Were you preparing for your cupcake set at that time? Was that what it was?
No.
Am I just mixing a bunch of different things together that I should not be mixing?
Yes.
Okay.
Cupcake was like November or something.
No, but wouldn't you be preparing for that set?
No, I don't think it was like a month prior.
Oh,
it was definitely like later, I think.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that's not important for the trip.
No, but you DJ'd. That happened.
Yeah, that happened.
Happened.
It was fun.
It was all right.
So the second day we went to this, was it state park, or do you remember what it's called?
I think it's a state park where the funny thing is we couldn't find initially like where to get in to the state park. It was like right next to the highway, so we're like, where is this state park? Because we're on the highway, and then we're like, oh, I guess we just get off the highway. And then I think we found some like baseball field first.
Yeah, I don't remember this.
And then we're like, this is not a state park. And then we realized, oh, there's a bridge that cross over the highway. You can't walk over it and then get to the state park.
Oh, I remember this now, because we literally pulled over at this baseball field and just like walked around for an hour.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that was not the third day. That was the second day. The third day we went to this canopy thing. That was not.
No.
No, it was the third day, because we were trying to find the canopy thing. I'm pretty sure we were trying to find it. And I think I took us down the wrong highway, so we like pulled over for an hour.
Right.
Oops. No, she's right. Blair's right.
What?
Because we walked around is there a river going through Cleveland? I don't remember what that is. The second day? That we went on?
I'm talking about the second day, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're all talking about the second
day. The Saturday.
I was saying the Sunday.
Blair was talking about Sunday. That was different.
Oh, okay.
We were still on Saturday, because we came back home and took a break.
Oh, we took a break and
didn't
went
we?
Back?
Like, watch Squid Game, take a break, and
no,
then we went?
Squid Game was night. Squid Game was night.
Okay, so let's... Backtrack. Wait. So, in the morning, we brunched. Then we walked around Marketplace area.
Mm-hmm.
Then we stadiumed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, went to the stadium and museum.
Right.
Then we went back to get vegan ice cream, because I wanted vegan ice cream. And then we were looking
for... We went to the park, right?
Yeah, we were looking
for,
like, the hiking area.
Right.
That's what it was. And we got lost on our way to the hiking area. And we pulled over at this baseball field for an hour. Sally slept in the car. We were just vibing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember that.
That's what it was. Okay. So that's when that happened. So we, like, walked around this, like, hiking area park thing that was near the river? Question mark? River?
Lake?
No, it was lake.
Lake
Erie?
Lake Erie?
Lake. Okay. It was around the lake. Clearly, I don't know geography. But we walked around the state park that kind of bordered the lake. It was really pretty, too, because it was fall time. We got the leaves falling, and the weather was not terrible.
The wave was crashing in crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And then it got, like it splashed people.
Yeah. Oh, this is the place where I climbed the tree, and you put a cone on your head.
Yeah.
Yes, this is I have one of my favorite pictures of Leo is him just standing in this field with a traffic cone on his head.
It's iconic.
Very iconic.
Legendary. That's, yes, I totally forgot about this. Is that your lock screen on your watch?
Yes.
Is it the cone picture?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
my
gosh. That's so funny. Like, hilarious. But, okay, so we did that Saturday. Then we squid gamed / I napped, and Leo DJ'd. That's what happened. And Sunday, we went to the canopy thing.
Yeah.
It was it a nature preserve?
Yeah, it was we were driving back from Cleveland.
Right.
So we were heading back east,
mm-hmm.
and we hit up this canopy place
where
it was like a large nature preserve with different types of gardens, and there was this like little zip line that we went on that was really fun. And then we... What? I enjoyed myself on the zipline.
Yeah.
Oh, Leo... I guess Leo was just saying, like, the zipline was too short for him.
Yeah,
and he just... That's... Leo...
What happened was... I'm pretty sure it was designed for kids. So my leg is like almost like on the ground when I like sit on it. And it was scary because...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But I would say, yeah, it was fun. There's a lot of like little tiny rope course thing.
Yeah. There's like little chairs, like rope courses, like logs and stuff for kids to climb on.
Yeah.
We also did take a bunch of pictures.
It was pretty nice.
Yeah. It was cute.
We climbed the... How do you call that? Watchtower? Or
it was a tall tower.
Yeah, it was like a wooden tower, and it like wiggles like when the wind hits.
I want to see you wiggle. Sorry. No one can say the word wiggle because I'll think of the TikTok.
Yeah, but that tower, it went right above the trees. So it was like really tall.
Yeah.
I was pretty spooked, but...
Well, the whole thing, it was windy, so the whole thing was shaking while you were standing on it. Yeah. Granted, it hopefully wouldn't have fallen over, but like you could feel the wind shaking the tower. And it was a lot of stairs.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of stairs to climb up there.
Yes, we climbed down, hopped back in the car. Oh, wait, we forgot to talk about the part where I tried to jump over a fence and I fell over.
Oh, you almost... Okay, there was like... Are they like regulators or like I don't know how do you call them? They're like in these like a golf car where like
there are people who worked there. Okay, there are just people who were there because they had jobs and they worked there.
Right, but Sheree just decides to jump right in front of them on like I don't know what she was on. She was like on this like parkour kind of mood.
It was a parkour kind of weekend for me. What can I say?
Too much sleep.
And you absolutely just like planted. I don't even know what part of your body hit the ground first, but eventually all of them were on the ground.
Yeah, the first time I definitely fell. The second time I got it. And then I jumped off of this bridge onto something else too.
Yeah.
For like a transition for the video you're putting together for the trip.
Right.
But yeah. For a while, my contact picture on Leo's phone was me jumping off of this because I had fallen on it.
Yeah. It was a moment before she fell, like flat on her butt. Yeah, and then after the National Reserve, we experienced this thunder, or more like hail.
It was hailing when we were driving, yeah.
It was crazy. It was like, they were like, this big, like a...
Like what, like a 1-inch diameter?
What's like this big ball? Look, like... M&M's with the peanut?
Peanut? M&M's. Was that the first time you saw hail?
Not really, but it was definitely like the first time seeing that big.
Mm.
Before, it was like more like very tiny one. Like there could be just like... Like, it looks just like snow, but it's like it hurts when it hits you.
Mm.
But this is like, they were like, they can kill you. I feel like.
No. See, I've been through like not golf ball sized hail, but let's say ping pong ball sized hail. That can hurt. That can hurt.
It was close though. It was close to a ping pong ball.
I would say it was in between a peanut M&M and a ping pong ball.
Yeah. It's a wide range.
Yeah. I was just scared of the windshield cracking.
Right.
That was my fear.
Because we had to drive back to Pittsburgh.
And like we didn't really know how to get on the highway, remember? It was like we were at this like taco place right after the taco place. Because we took a detour to a restaurant before we head back to school. And then like this detour, we don't know how we're going to get to the highway. And then it was during that time. It was just downpour.
Yes, I remember this now. I remember I blocked off this part of my memory because it was really stressful, but I remember this now. It's coming back to me. Why were we on a detour?
Well, because we wanted to go hit up the taco place.
No. I thought we were like on a physical detour after that because the road was closed. And I think that's why we couldn't get on the highway.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember why the GPS took us there, but there was traffic.
Definitely GPS took us like through some like town. And
yeah,
like,
the GPS did take us through some town.
Yeah.
And like, that was when it hit like... pretty hard.
Oh, that was stressful. That was mad stressful.
Yeah. It was like the visibility was also low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we got back safely.
Safe and sound.
Once we got on the highway, it was not raining at all.
Yeah, it was totally fine. Yeah. But yeah, that was, I think, our entire Cleveland trip.
Mm-hmm.
In a nutshell. Okay.
more or less.
More or less. Yeah. Okay. Ready? Blair, favorite part of your Cleveland trip? Go.
Ooh. The brunch?
Fair enough. That was good brunch. Mm-hmm. Amanda?
Probably the ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a very aesthetic, nice ice cream place.
It was very cute. Leo?
I had a lot of fun there. Like, I really enjoyed the state park walk. I love nature places and walking around, just not thinking about work.
Mm.
It's very nice. I also, like, really enjoy, like, visiting the, I guess, like, the supermarket, like, where, I don't know, it was, like, pretty old, right? It was, like, a historical place where, like, it's been there for, like, 100 years or something. So that was really cool. And, like, I got a picture right before they kicked everyone out for a wedding, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't remember the wedding
part. Was it called Arcade? Or?
Yeah, I think it was called the Arcade.
Yeah.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ah, yes.
You know what I just remembered? We were downtown Cleveland,
yes,
for some reason. I don't remember why, but it was on that Saturday when we were exploring.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a bunch of different rounds to try to find parking. And we ended up in this cupcake shop.
Yes, I remember that.
Because we wanted
that.
To look at the cupcake right. shop. It was so aesthetic. I think it's probably my favorite, like, physical
yes.
location we went to. It was so pretty. The insides, amazing. Loved it.
Like pink?
Yeah, it was all pink. Okay, my favorite color is pink. I like pink. Vegan ice cream was okay. I'm, like, process of eliminationing. That's not a verb. It's a verb now. The nature walk was really nice. I actually really liked the nature walk, and the weather was really good. Friday dinner was also really fun. Just because, like, I also helped Leo put together dinner. I didn't really do much. I think I just, like, stood there and smashed peanuts. And maybe, like, cut a vegetable. That's about it. But that was just very fun. And I also really enjoyed just seeing downtown Cleveland and all the things that were there. Because it was really cute. There were a bunch of different lights. And the fall weather was very nice. I don't know. Couple of highlights there. But yeah. Okay. If you had to travel somewhere next, where do you want to go next? Anybody want to start?
I don't want to start. Blair want to go to Hawaii.
Well, no, that's like one of the options, but it's not like the
okay.
place that I really want to go, you know? Realistically, it's like not technically like a destination, but it's like something I really want to do is like there is, you know, the Orient Express, like the book and like the movie
mm-hmm.
Murder on the Orient Express. So like they have this company that they like recreated those type of old style train in Europe, and it's like they have different like destinations and you know, places you can depart, but I really want to take like from Istanbul to Paris, and it's like a 5-day trip in the really like vintage train car. And I also really want to go to Turkey and France, so, but it's